Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Looking to amend your soil? Get it tested first to make sure you know where you stand. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we have a question from Rose in Utica, Illinois. It's actually a two-part question. And the first part is she wants to know where to take dirt from her garden to be tested. She wants to amend the soil in her monarch butterfly garden.
Excellent.
So she wants to know where she stands.
That's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Soil testing is a great way to avoid a misapplication or an overapplication or even an underapplication, but the first two are violations of integrated pest management.
Ooh.
And you could be breaking the law aside from damaging the environment.
Seriously, you could be breaking the law?
If you're knowingly using a synthetic chemical contrary to its directions,
okay,
you can be in a lot of trouble.
I had no idea. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So soil testing, there's a lot to choose from. The simplest soil test one can take is a shake test, where you fill a mason jar half full of soil and then fill it the rest of the way with water, shake it all up real good, and come back and look at it 24 hours later. What happens is all soils are made of sand, silt, and clay particles in different percentages, different strengths. After this 24 hours, you'll see the profile of your soil will have settled in the jar, with sand being at the bottom because it's the heaviest. Silt will be in the middle because it's lighter than sand and it sinks a little slower. And then this cool part, clay is electronically charged. So it floats around in the water for a long time.
Wow.
So it settles last. And this is a real rudimentary basic soil test that gives you a visual understanding with a rough percentage estimate of how much sand, silt, and clay do you have.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that. It's a great test.
And it's interesting for lots of reasons, but soil is like people. It comes in all shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's used in the wrong place, it's a complete waste. If it's put in the right place, it's super productive and long lasting. Test kits can also be the store-bought ones, which primarily determine pH level and moisture holding capacity of the soil. The best way to test soil, Laura, is consider using an organization that's affiliated with the Illinois Soil Testing Association.
Wow.
Or any state's Agricultural Soil Testing Association. And here in the Midwest, I've used a company called GMS Laboratories. The instructions that come with collecting the soil sample and the opportunity to tell the tester, I want to determine how I need to amend my soil, just like our question. But you could also ask them certain things like, how much fertilizer do I need? Because a lot of times when soils have been tested in my career, there's plenty of nutrients there. Matter of fact, there's so much nutrients there, they're chemically bound in the soil.
Oh.
And usually the only thing that can replace that is time and water. Occasionally there's some other amendments applied to kind of unlock that chemical bond. But the good news is that the soil testing that's done by the soil testing laboratories, they give you all this information. They give you the opportunity to say, why do you need your soil tested?
Yeah, because if Rosa says, this is for my butterfly garden, I want to attract monarchs, they can give her a specific response about what her soil is and what she should do just so it flourishes.
Yes, Laura. And because they are a professional soil testing facility, they're probably aware of what is the profile of native soils. Native soils in the Midwest are what are going to be best for these native plants and your monarch and pollinator gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to kind of point you in that direction. And I think it's a great way to make sure that your soil test is accurate.
Okay, great. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we have a question from Rose in Utica about help with her soil. And she also has a nasty trumpet vine that she wants to deal with. She wants to kill this thing off organically. It's invaded her butterfly garden. It's killing all of her milkweed. We all know that butterflies love milkweed. So do you have any advice on organically doing away with trumpet vine?
I do have a solution, I believe, for organically killing this vine or any other plant that's in your landscape. There's a simple household concoction of a gallon of water with some baking soda.
No way.
In there, but you got to keep applying it and reapply it because it burns the foliage. So, but there's an opportunity here, I think, too, because vines are really easy to transplant. And you don't have to get the whole vine. You need a little stub of what's left above ground and as much of the roots as possible. So if she could possibly let somebody know she has a trumpet vine to give away.
Would anybody want a trumpet vine? Is that a good plant?
I think that it has its place in a garden,
okay. But
not in every garden, right?
Okay.
There could be somebody that's got a horse barn or a shed on a piece of property that's a little more spacious that can afford to have this aggressive, fast-growing, yet beautiful trumpet vine. And I would also think it's interesting in the question, Laura, because she mentioned she's trying to attract monarchs, has a pollinator garden. Well, trumpet vine's part of that palette of plants. I'm asking you to consider keeping it.
Okay, maybe it's choking things out, though.
It could be.
Because it's going after her milkweed.
It could be. So you can clear away the desirable plants from the base of this vine. You would want to cut away the top or the head of the vine.
Mm-hmm.
So you shut down the factory and then keep reapplying this solution of baking soda and water. And if you're worried about it splashing, you could use a glove-covered hand, like with a household cleaning glove on it, or you could use a paintbrush.
I've actually seen them. They have them in garden centers now where they look like those little brushes that you do like around edges when you're painting a room, and you use that for your plants.
It's a really great way to keep control and not over-apply, not apply where it's not wanted. But I had to touch on that because I was like, wait a minute, if you want monarch butterflies, but yes, the trumpet vine could be taking over.
So how could Rosa actually encourage her milkweed to come back? What's a good technique for that?
I would say to collect the seeds and allow for a seed bed. So that's kind of hard to do.
Oh.
Because creating a seed bed allows for the seed to come in contact with the soil. And if you save some seeds, that's an easy way to do it because you can put the seed where it needs to go. But you could also have to get involved in some cleanup type stuff to remove the leaves and spent plant debris from the ground, open up some bare soil in between the plants that are staying, and sow the seed. Milkweed, if it's left to grow in place, it'll grow over time, just like the fall sunflowers and a lot of other roadside plants. They seed themselves. The seeds kind of fall not too far from where they originated. So milkweed's great because the seeds are going to be waiting right there for you.
I mean, it's a weed.
Yeah. It's funny. We're probably going to get a question from somebody that wants to keep their trumpet vine.
But get rid of their milkweed.
Yeah, right. I have this butterfly invasion at my house. But that's the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times just digging that vine up would do the job. And you might get a few volunteers left over from some root tissue that was left before left after you did the work.
Right.
But they'd be easy to get rid of those too.
Okay.
So killing it in place with chemicals that are organic is going to take some repeat visits.
Okay. Well, that is some really great questions. And thanks, Rosa, for wanting to go the organic way with treating that that problem you have in your garden. And good luck with your soil as well. Some great suggestions there on discovering the roots of your soil.
It's so important.
sort of genealogy of the soil. Now, coming up next week on GLT's Grow, we're going to talk about how to create a great compost bin. And that's coming up next week. If you've got a gardening question or problem that you would like Merv to take on, just go to our website, fill in the form, and send it along to us. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe Merv will answer your question on the air. Just submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.